We're going to take a look at the verse today is Psalm 23, verse 1. I should have brought a bag of coffee. I could have given it away if you know what Psalm 23, verse 1 is. What is it? Jehovah Jireh? No. In the beginning was the... No. Oh, it's too bad you're not a coffee drinker. I could have set you up. I don't know if he drinks coffee. I think he's more of a straight rye and whiskey guy. No, he doesn't drink coffee. Yeah, unless he has to. I want to look at Psalm 1 regarding Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is about the church age. It's about the church. It's the psalm describing the church. And that's why it starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's not a psalm for the nations. It's a psalm for the kingdom. It's not a psalm for your salvation. It's a psalm for your kingdom. And you can tell that when you start to look into the New Testament. If you're looking at things that address the church more than the individual, they're probably addressing the kingdom more than they are salvation issues. And as you learn about kingdom, you learn about the things that are important for you as a saved person to understand and to walk in. What did Jesus say in Mark 1? When he started out. Now after John, I'm in verse 14 of Mark 1. Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And that was his proclamation. John was a forerunner. John more or less stopped running. But the kingdom was to be proclaimed. It was at hand. And the forerunning was over. The Lord was here. Jesus was the Messiah, not just the Savior. And he had a role that was bigger than just your salvation. And as we understand it, we grow with respect to our salvation, which is what Peter told us to do. And we grow with respect to the things of the Lord and the kingdom of the Lord, which we were to seek and we were to loose and call for it to be here. We were to study to show ourselves approved, and we were to reap the benefits of it. When you look at the type and shadow in the Old Covenant, you see types and shadows which were often addressed by the prophets to the nation, to the kingdom, not just to individuals. Yes, there was individual words for individual kings and individual widows and individual farmers and other people. But there was a lot of talk to the nation and what the nation was supposed to do to be his people. And as we start to look at that, we start to see there emerges a gospel of the kingdom. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's just read it right through, and then we're going to go and read John 10 at the same time. This was written a little ways before Jesus showed up, but it was talking about him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember, we read the back half of Psalm 90 and Psalm 91, and then Psalm 144 last week. So this sort of ties into that. John 10, of course, I'm starting at John 9:41. Jesus said to them, he's talking to the Pharisees, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." So Jesus is laying the foundation there for people to understand that he is the shepherd of Psalm 23. That he is the one that is the head of the church. And the church is not just the Jews, but others that will be called into the same fold. Others who will join. And there will be one flock. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That's been picked apart by a few people, different ways. But if you look at it in context, it basically says the Lord is the provider, the deliverer of the blessing. He makes things happen so that you do not want. Now, people want to argue about that. And I think there's lots of room for you to argue if you want to argue. I shall not want, some people say, means you to have an attitude that you don't want. You quit wanting. Others say, no, it means that you have supply and provision, so you quit wanting. Others say, well, it doesn't mean you shall not want for anything. Because what if you wanted for something bad? Reminds me of some of the stuff that's coming out now, where there's a few professors have turned out very good papers that say, you know, not using oil is one way to try and save the planet, but the biggest use of carbon and the biggest increase in carbon comes from people. If there's one more person born, they use 90 times what driving a car uses in their lifetime. So the way to save the planet is to have no more people. And it just keeps popping into my head the verse that Paul wrote, you know, thinking themselves wise, they became fools. But these are high-end study papers that are amongst the climate intelligentsia. And the latest UN thing was to say, well, you have to stop eating meat because that uses less carbon if you don't eat meat when you just eat vegetables. So forget about the car thing. They're moving on. They're taking on the big stuff because we're down to 11 years and then we all disappear. Unfortunately, they don't say the earth will disappear. They just say we all disappear because the climate changes. But as long as the earth remains, there will be cold and heat, seed time and harvest. So you can relax. But they said they should now pay people not to have children. It was one of the things they came up with. I think that's a great idea. Sign me up. I'll not have 10 million children. How's that? But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's take it just within the bounds of what follows. What shall I not want? And that's why I say it's a picture of the church. It's often been described as the psalm of the church age. The Lord is the shepherd of the flock, the church. It's not for post-church age, the millennial age. It's not for pre-church age, even though it was written hundreds of years before. It's for when the Lord is my shepherd. That's why we read John 10. So I shall not want. What does that encompass? Well, it means he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a provision to the sheep. You rest in the provision. You lie down in green pastures. You lie down in an environment that is supplying. Remember when Joshua was telling them about going into the promised land, and he said, you're going in where there's stuff in the hills. There's iron and ore and bronze and gold and silver. You're going into a land of provision. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I eat and drink. But when he leads me beside quiet waters, he restores my soul. And the soul is the first point of your contact with the world around you. Kingdom of God is about the world around you. It's not about the heaven coming. The church is about the world around you, not about the heaven you're going into. And soul is most associated in salvation with peace. An absence of turmoil or war in the world around you. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The conviction of the church, Jesus says. It convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Because of the three spirit forms on the earth, you have sin because they do not believe. The Holy Spirit convicts them of sin because they do not believe. If you're not a believer, the conviction is that you're not a believer. That's what the Holy Spirit convicts you of. Everybody else wants to convict you of the law in some fashion. And then righteousness, because I go to the Father. And the Holy Spirit comes to you. The Holy Spirit's conviction for you is of righteousness. He leads you, as the shepherd leads you, in the paths of righteousness. He's telling you what's good, what's right. He's not telling you what's wrong. That's why Paul can say in Romans, if you walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out the deeds of the flesh. In other words, you'll stop sinning if you start walking by the Spirit. Not if you somehow try to correct your own actions, but begin to do what is right or righteous. In other words, if you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. And if you're walking by the Spirit, you not carry out the deeds of the flesh. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Thy word is a light for his name's sake, for the sake of the glory of the Christian body, the church. He will help you understand righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm on the earth. I'm not in heaven. I'm in the church. But I'm in the kingdom. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The presence of the Lord is strong in the congregation of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is with you to help you and guide you. But he's in the congregation to manifest gifts of the Spirit, power, administrations, prophecy, discernments. He's given to profit withal. That's why you understand the operation of the spirits in the operation of the spirit in the congregation, because in a congregational setting, in a kingdom setting, what's a kingdom? Well, it's at least two. Where two or more are gathered, there I am in your midst. It's to profit withal in the midst of the congregation. And that is why you're called into the fold of the sheep, to be one in the flock, not to be an individual. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is given to take on the enemy, and the staff is given to give you guidance, to pull you back. You know, the shepherd's crook had a little hook on it to get around the neck of the sheep and get them out of trouble, lift them up out of the ditch. But the rod was to beat the wolf. And the rod, what did Paul say sometime? He wrote a couple of churches, if I come, I will not spare, he said. That meant he wouldn't fill in at the school when they wanted to have a teacher's. No, I don't think that's what that meant, but You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's one of the reasons we know it's not in heaven that he's your shepherd. It's here. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You have anointed my head with oil. The head is more or less the seat of the soul, the intellect, the emotions, the thinking. And it comes under an anointing. That is Romans 12:2. Be renewed in your mind by that transformation. And so the anointing that teaches you and helps you prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God is given to you when the Lord is your shepherd. My cup overflows. Provision was always destined for the church. Surely goodness and loving kindness, or mercy, if you will follow me all the days of my life. That's just another sign that there's a perpetual, continuous, ever-increasing governance of the kingdom of God. And it is to be not only on the face of the earth as it is increasing, but also in the believer's own life. So the church is, there's more people saved in the last 8 years than up till the last 8 years from the cross. The church is bigger, more people in the kingdom from the last 8 years than all the years before. There have been more people killed in the name for being a Christian in the last 7 years than all the martyrs before. It's happening every day. It's happening in Myanmar. If you've been to the FCA meetings, you know about Myanmar because Jim Humphreys and his wife minister there. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. I look for the kingdom to be my protection. Salvation is not your protection. It's your deliverance. The kingdom is your protection. And I also have salvation. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have eternity, but I have a kingdom right now. And that right now has the presence, the goodness, and the mercy of the Lord following me. To walk in his presence, you walk in a higher level in the kingdom than if you just walk in salvation. So Jesus, when Nicodemus came and wanted to know about this, because he was a ruler, and he came to her at night to find out, because he wanted to know what it was that Jesus knew. He said, you know, like, I can see the signs and the wonders. I see the power. So you must be from God. And Jesus said, I'm talking to a guy who has the scripture. He's a Pharisee. What he doesn't have is the Spirit. I'll see if he can get it. You must be born again to see the kingdom. He thought he was in a kingdom. He wasn't in Jesus' kingdom. You must be born again in order to enter the kingdom. The Spirit blows where it will. You don't see it the way the eye sees. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. You have religion. You have an old covenant. But you came to me because you knew I had something from God. I was from God. So I'll tell you something from God. Here's a fundamental thing. You got to be born again. You have to be born again to see or enter the kingdom. He didn't talk to Nicodemus about what to do with his wayward cousin or the guy down the street who was cheating him out of the olive oil. Nicodemus didn't come to him as a guy looking for a help me thing. Like the synagogue official, Jairus. He was a synagogue official, but he said, I got a sick daughter. Would you come and heal her? Please. Jesus said, sure. But now he's got Nicodemus who just says, I'm coming at night, not with a problem. I just don't want the other guys seeing me. You know, read on and you'll see the things that he tried to say to the Sanhedrin later. He's a little bit concerned about what the peer group was thinking. But he said, go to John 3. We'll read it for you. What the heck? Just to be nice. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. He was a ruler of the Jews. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus was probably there when the Pharisees all went out to argue with Jesus, and they let the man down through the roof. You know, he's watching everybody and these arguments, and he's seeing works. He's seeing the power. He's convinced of the works. We know that you have come from God as a teacher. Now, he wouldn't be able to say that with the other Pharisees around. He came at night. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. You got power beyond a natural guy's power. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know a lot of scripture. You know I've got something no one else has. You're wondering what it is. What, you're a teacher. I'm listening. And Jesus answered, I'm telling you the truth. You got to get born again. This is fundamental. This is not Nicodemus' personal problems. This is the ruler of the Jews being told what the Jews need and what the nation needs. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly. You see, the man's ignorance didn't turn Jesus off. He was still there and he was still a ruler of the Jews. He was still working with them. He knew he didn't know certain spiritual things. That's why he told them, I'm giving you some truth here. Thus saith the Lord, you might hear in a church today, when you know you're hearing something from God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is Nicodemus. No. So is the Jew? No. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's a condition that's everyone who is born of the Spirit. You know what he's saying? There are people that are born of water, but they're not born of the Spirit. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Now, I don't know whether it was in the bulletin or not. I didn't see all of it.